Welcome to episode 1470 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. In the previous episode, Andrew reflected on what happened when the gospel pushed beyond Jerusalem and the familiar world of Galilee. At Pentecost, he watched Peter preach to thousands while he took his own place at the edge of the moment. Baptizing, serving, helping the great public proclamation become a lived reality, one person at a time. Then the road carried him farther from home, north along the Black Sea, into Greece, and eventually to Patras. Along the way, Andrew discovered that strangers did not remain strangers for long. Beneath differences of language, custom, and culture, he kept finding the same human hunger and the same openness to the good news of Christ. His ministry remained what it had always been. Small rooms, individual conversations, people at the edges, brought one by one into the presence of Jesus. In this final episode of part four, Andrew reaches the end of that road and discovers that the quiet faithfulness he once thought of as a limitation was all along the gift God had given him. Acts of the Apostles, part four, chapter five.
I am in Patras, and Agiates the proconsul has made his decision. I have been in this city long enough to build something here. Not a large community, but a real one. People who have moved from the edge of the crowd to the center of a life that means something, who have found the person I brought them to and have not let go. Agiates' wife, Maximilla, is among them, his brother Stratocles, others whose names I know and whose faces I have watched change. Agiates is not among them. And he is not pleased about the ones who are. The order has come. Across. In the harbor, where the city can see. I am not afraid. I want to say that carefully, because I am aware it can sound like performance, the pious man insisting on his own courage so the record reflects well on him. I am not performing. I am reporting. The fear that I expected is not there. What is there instead? I will try to describe. You may have heard that I greeted the cross. I did. I want to explain why. Because it is easily misunderstood as theatre, the holy man making a speech to a piece of timber for the benefit of the crowd. It was not that. It was something more private, addressed to the object itself, the way you might speak to something that has been part of a long story and is now arriving at its conclusion. I said,
"Hail, O cross! I know you now. For you bear the weight of him who hung on you. Long have I desired you. Long have I sought you. You were prepared for my body, as my body was prepared for you. I come to you in peace."
I come to you in peace. That is the line that matters. Not as a condemned man accepting the inevitable. As a man arriving at the completion of something that began a very long time ago on the shore of a lake in Galilee. The cross Simon carried was different from the one I am approaching. He asked to be crucified upside down, not considering himself worthy to die as the Lord had died. That is Simon. The gesture that acknowledges the distance between himself and Jesus, while insisting on following him anyway, all the way to the end. I have a different instinct. Not better. Different. I want to go to this the way I have gone to everything. Moving toward what is given, receiving what is offered, without making the moment about the manner of my receiving. A cross is a cross. What matters is not its orientation but the one whose story it carries. Mine is the same story as his. That is honor enough. There are things you understand only at the end that you could not have understood at the beginning, not because the information was unavailable, but because you had not yet lived enough to receive it. I understand now why I was made the way I was made. the quieter one, the one who went to John first, who found the Messiah before his brother did, who spent time speaking to smaller audiences in smaller rooms. I used to think of this as my limitation, the thing I was despite, not because of. I understand now that it was my gift, shaped precisely for the work it was given. The kingdom does not run on prominence, it runs on faithfulness. And faithfulness in small rooms, with individual people, one at a time. That is not the lesser work. It is the work that holds everything else together the way mortar holds the stones. The stones are visible. The mortar is not. But take away the mortar and the wall falls. I was mortar. I was glad to be mortar. I am glad now. I also understand, now, something about being first. The title they give me in the Eastern Church is Protokletos, the first called. It is an honorable title and I receive it gratefully. But I want to say what being first actually felt like from the inside, because I think it is often misunderstood. Being first did not feel like an advantage. It felt like a responsibility to find the next one. The moment I understood what I had found, the only thing in me was the need to go and bring someone else. Simon. The boy. The Greeks. Person after person, city after city. For 30 years. First is not a destination. First is a direction. It points toward whoever comes next. I have one last introduction to make, not to a person. I have made all the introductions I will make in person. But to everyone who hears this, in whatever time they are living, in whatever circumstance has brought this story to them. What I found on the first evening, the afternoon at the 10th hour, the come and see, the conversation I cannot fully reproduce because it belonged to that moment, and I carried it, rather than recorded it. What I found was not a teacher, or a system, or a tradition, or a set of requirements. I found a person. A presence. Someone who asked me what I was seeking, and waited, without impatience, for whatever answer I could manage. I have been trying ever since to bring people to that presence. Not to my version of it, not to the community I have built, or the arguments I have made, or the experiences I have had. To him, the presence itself. The one who asks the question and waits, he is still asking it. That is the thing I want you to know. Wherever you are, however this story has reached you, what are you seeking? He asked me that on a riverbank in Judea, and I answered badly, and he invited me anyway. He has been asking it ever since. To everyone who came after me. To every person at the edge of every crowd in every city I have ever walked through. The answer you give does not have to be perfect. Mine was not. We asked where he was staying, which was, as I told you, a way of not quite answering while still moving toward him. He said, come and see. He is still saying it, come, see. And when you have seen, when you have found what you were looking for, though you did not quite know what you were looking for, go and find the next person at the edge, and say the simplest true thing you know. I have found what I was seeking, come and see.
This has been the Acts of the Apostles, part 4. Andrew the First Called. The story of a man who found the most important thing in the world and immediately went to share it. Who spent 30 years doing the same thing, one person at a time, in rooms where the only light was a lamp. He was not the famous one. He was the first one. And the first thing the first one did was go and find the next one. That is the whole of it. Andrew's life offers a needed correction to the way we often think about significance. We are drawn to the visible, the sermon before thousands, the leader whose name everyone knows, the dramatic moment history remembers. Andrew's ministry was usually quieter than that. He noticed, he invited, he brought. He stayed close enough to see the person at the edge and faithful enough to lead that person toward Jesus. And at the end of his life, he understood that this had not been lesser work. It had been his work. There is freedom in accepting the particular shape of faithfulness God has given us. Sometimes our calling is to be mortar rather than stone, to hold things together without being seen, to make the introduction, to open the door, to help the next person take one step closer to Christ. And Andrew leaves us with the question that began everything. What are you seeking? Jesus did not demand Andrew answer perfectly before inviting him closer. He simply said, "Come and see." That invitation remains. And once we have seen enough to know Christ is worth following, Andrew's life gives us the next step. Find someone else. Tell the simplest true thing you know. Point toward Jesus. Faithfulness does not require prominence. It requires willingness to bring the next person. Next time we explore the life and times of the Apostle Philip.